What's up, champs? Welcome to Short Shifts. Champs here to welcome you to our twice weekly show in between the mega shows, where we give you the bite-sized bit of news and keep you abreast of all the things important in fantasy hockey. And we had this show done last week, and we liked it so much, we're going to keep it going again. Elizabeth, welcome back to another Thursday show.
Thanks for having me, Shams. I'm so excited to be back. It's like a little family here with the Short Shifts house. And sometimes, you know, we've got to work our schedules around and show up for each other. And I wasn't able to do Tuesday, so here I am Thursday. And it's just, I'm so happy to be back.
Happy to have you here, even with, Edmonton already, I think it was like a minute into the game, has a power play goal against Detroit. So back to back, I'm already taking this as a loss, so hopefully everyone just comes out healthy. But either way, we'll see how it keeps on going. But either way, going forward, we have important news. It's been happening a decent amount, but hopefully these people have good news on the other end. But Timo Meier is taking a personal leave of absence. We do not have any idea of the length, but they are playing today, so we have an understanding of how the lineup's being handled. They're playing Tampa Bay, and it's currently an 8-4 game for Tampa, but honestly, the way Tampa's been playing, I wouldn't read too much into this. It feels like they're just now demolishing every team. But the interesting thing that I noticed is that they have Stefan Nason with Heischer and Bratt as the top line, but the part that actually interests me the most is they have Gritsyuk on the power play one with Nemec, Heischer, Bratt, and Nason. So oddly enough, the absence of Timo Meier also kicked off Mercer from the power play. So Mercer's now line two with Palat and Cotter with no real interesting people. So the interesting thing is that for me, out of this, is that Gritsyuk having that access to the top power play with Heischer and Bratt, and he's already kind of showed a little bit of good play on his own on the third line with Glass and Brown. This is someone that maybe in your deeper leagues, or depending on schedules and whatnot, like a Sunday stream, this would be the person that I would be targeting. Do you agree?
I think so. I mean, this New Jersey team has been a little cold lately, so they definitely needed a shakeup. And I think this just gave them that opportunity to shake up those lines. Like you said, it made for some very interesting changes that we wouldn't have necessarily guessed or expected if you had just asked us to throw a dart at the board there.
Hopefully everything is fine, but as mentioned before, we don't really have a timeline, so just kind of keep an eye to game day tweets, and once we have more news, we'll give you more there. And talking about New Jersey's opponent, Tampa, we actually have more updates. It's nothing really solid, but just something to keep in mind is that Vasilevskiy is, quote, day-to-day. It's a little bit of a wait-and-see is basically what the coach has said. So Marcus Johansson, who has basically, I think the whole Keeping Carlson community has kind of joked about, I forget the name of the beat reporter, but literally called him the worst goalie ever. But he's been basically playing well enough, so right now it looks like he's going to keep on going. And then on top of the injury news is that we were just talking about Hedman coming back, but he is now injured again, and it's been reported it's the exact same injury. It's a re-aggravation. The coach says he doesn't know if it's day-to-day or week-to-week, but the interesting thing is that he is put on IR, so he's already going to miss at least a handful of games. I believe it's next Thursday of next week against the Kings is when he's first able to come back, but when the coach is throwing, it could be week-to-week. That's something to keep in mind. I would be planning that he's going to be out for a decent term. So with that, I'm basically just kind of reverting back to my Darren Radish. He currently, unless he got more, he had at least a goal and assist so far in this game, that basically, if you have him, just keep on riding him, and then just kind of, maybe we'll just have to wait for Hedman to come back for like 3 or 4 games before we start thinking, because Cernak came back earlier this season, literally for one game and then came out. So this is just kind of a weird trend of players coming back just to get injured again. So if you have Radish, just keep on playing him. And then when we hear more news, we'll reevaluate. Do you agree?
This is a tough one, right? We've got him out until at least next Thursday, as you mentioned. But then after that, if you look at the schedule, I hate to break it to everybody, but we are nearing that holiday break. And there would only be about two or three games after that comeback before that holiday break. I really have to question if they want to rush him back again or if they want to take the break. I'm obviously not in the dressing room, but if I were a betting person, I think I would look to him coming back after at least the holiday break. Just the way they're wording it, like you said, that could be day-to-day or week-to-week. It's always something that you have to take into consideration. Now, the team has been blessed with some good news recently. They got Point and Cooch back earlier this week, but hopefully they can get McDonough back soon too. And then hopefully Vasilevskiy isn't too far away. And then this hit to being Hedman out isn't a big deal and they can get him back post-holiday and pre-Olympic period there to kind of show off a little.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially with the way they're playing, they don't need to rush, but we'll see. Is that at the end of seasons, we hear that, you know, NHL players are somehow playing with like 17 injuries and you couldn't tell by the way they're playing. So these people want to be back on the ice, but I'm with you that the break, it's prudent to have them taking it a little bit slower. And then talking about coming back, we have Boone Jenner back on the second line with a interesting center. I say second line for Columbus, but it's not playing with Monahan. He's playing with Fantilli and Kent Johnston. And there's a little bit of worry, I believe, on the Discord about seeing Fantilli being slotted into the second line. But the interesting thing is that he's still shooting. We're in the third period, about the game, about the end. He already has three shots and an assist. So Fantilli is interesting. Boone Jenner, I'm not sure, has hit the score sheet. But he's always good for his hits and blocks. I'm not too worried about this lineup. Basically, the interesting thing is that the coach was asked, hey, why did you swap Fantilli and Monahan? He literally said, yeah, we lost three games. Let's try some things. And interestingly enough, they lost today. So these lines could be changing soon. So the way I would look at it, be happy if you have Boone Jenner that he's back and he's back in the top six. But with another loss, these lines could be something completely different the next game.
Absolutely. And huge shout out to Cam in our Discord who asked us if we thought this was a bad sign for Fantilli. But I'm going to respond here instead of there and just say I always struggle to call anybody a season long hold. So I won't say that, but I think you're fine. I think you hold on to Fantilli. You see how this shakes out. I am also an owner of Monahan and, you know, I love him on the first line, but I don't know that it's going to stick there. We'll have to wait and see what goes on with this line. It's very interesting. I like seeing Boone Jenner come back. He had four hits in the first period back. So he came back and he was ready to come back. You're not throwing hits if you're still a little sore. So I think this was a good call on the team to bring him back. And hopefully they can juggle these lines a little bit and find that sweet spot. I did want to point out an interesting thing with Fantilli. I know we're not really at that part of the game, the show, if you will. But in his last 10 games, he had six games below four Kakutful points, which would normally be scary. But if you look at the rest of his games, he actually had two that were over 10 points. And so he ended up averaging out about 4.83 Kakutful points. That's not somebody I'm dropping pretty quickly. So definitely hold on to him for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Good point is that when you see, it's kind of like a goalie, you see someone with like a zero or a negative one and you get mad, but then you look at the week-long score that you got from them and you're just like, oh wait, they actually won me the week. So it might be a hot and cold situation, but as long as those hot games come, yeah, that's something to definitely keep in mind.
Exactly. And speaking of goalies, we have to talk about poor Colton Ellis. He had to leave Tuesday's game against the Oilers due to concussion protocol, which we do love to see that happening. We love to see them pulling him. I was watching this game. He definitely had head contact there when Tomasek flew by the net. And they rightfully had to pull him at the next whistle. They brought in Lyon and, you know, the game went their way, which was nice. But you do hate to see somebody leave in that for that reason. And he didn't return, which I did find a little bit surprising. And today they announced he is out on the IR. So he will be out for at least a week. This is an interesting spot, though, because this is already a really weird trio, right? We already have UPL here. We've got Lyon. And then we've got Colton Ellis, who are all having pretty good years. All goalies I would be happy to have on my home team. So I think there's not a lot to action here, but it'll be interesting to see how they balance these games between UPL and Lyon.
So yeah, I think the interesting thing to take away here is that it will be, they all don't play enough that you're probably not happy to have them on like your roster and points league. But, you know, hopefully he's healthy soon and everything comes out of it. But it does help kind of help plan for your streaming schedule, especially now with a back-to-back. You could just know, hey, I actually know what the second goalie is going to be. And before, you just honestly didn't know. So this is going to be one of those situations where you kind of have like a high and low peak, as we're talking like with a Fantilli. These kind of goalies, they take a good amount of shots, but they could definitely put up stinkers. So if you're willing to take the roller coaster of a possible high recording or a stinker, these are kind of be those goalies that kind of help you potentially move the needle. We just don't know if it's going to be for the good or for the bad.
Exactly. It's so hard to tell with goalies, and especially with a trio. I mean, a tandem's hard enough to guess who's going to be on the hot streak and get the starts, but a trio makes things extra scary, if you ask me. Another big goalie news. We need to welcome Jacob Fowler. He's making his NHL debut tonight in Pittsburgh. I found this fun little fact that I had to share because he is following in some very big shoes. Carey Price, Patrick Waugh also made their debut against the Penguins, both winning their games, 1-3-2, 1-5-3. So hopefully we see some good stuff from him as well. It's always nice to see a new goalie kind of enter our sphere, see if there's somebody we can stream in. That's what I know I'm always looking for. So before we started recording today, I will say Montreal was up. I won't say what the score was because I'm superstitious and I'm sure Montreal fans are and I don't want to get in trouble. But Montembeau and Dobbs, they've been struggling. They're both below a .9 save percentage. So I think he does have a little bit of room here if he can really show off in a couple of games.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that's going to be the situation. It's just that while I won't, hopefully this is not far enough for the jinx, but I'll just say he is doing well so far with about 15 minutes left into the third quarter. So he's definitely doing better than goalies before him. So this is going to be that interesting thing, is that basically I feel like they're going to play him as well as he plays. So he has an interesting chance to take the net, but I don't believe they're probably going to run him too far. So this is going to be one of those situations where maybe, in my opinion, his peak might be like a 1A situation. Because to my understanding is that in a perfect world, they would never called him up in the first place. So hopefully he kind of plays well, but I'm not 100% sure how much play he gets. So that's just something to keep in mind. But if he gets the second start in a row, that's something that could happen. But I just personally, unless they're in dire straits and are maybe playing for the playoffs later in the year, I'm not 100% sure he's going to be one of those, like, say, like a Spencer Knight where he's literally playing every night in and out. As we kind of said, this is all goalies. This could be kind of a roll of the dice thing. So take it with a grain of salt, but that's just kind of where I'm coming from. Are you kind of in the same boat with the volume?
I think so. I mean, this was a team that was really expecting Montembeau to hold the fort down this year. So I think that this is kind of showing the players like, hey, we're willing to try things if it's not working. I think this is one of those moments where this is more a message to the team than anything else. But it is a great opportunity for a young goalie. So I hope that he does get to show off a little bit and it's not just a one-time thing. I hope we get to see him a couple of games here, give him that NHL experience before we see him really come back and shine.
Oh yeah, for sure. And with that, we'll take a break and come back with hot and cold streaks.
Every yard, every sack, every interception, and every touchdown with Pick 6 DraftKings' newest game, every snap can turn into a big-time payout. This isn't just watching the game. This is playing to win. Here's how it works. Pick more or less on two or more player stats. The better your picks, the bigger your payout. It's that simple. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in Pick 6 credits with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. You know the game. Now make it pay. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call, ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable. Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year. to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account, and you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n. Spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. We start this hot and cold series with two listener submitted questions, and interesting enough, I say listener, but it's the one and only Elon that has given us the first, and he wants us to talk about Quentin Byfield. And I think this is going to be one of those interesting situations. I totally know where he's coming from because I went through this exact situation last year when I drafted him in Kickoffle, is that currently he only has 2 points in his last 10 games, and he's only averaging 1.4 shots during that time. And then the part that blows my mind last year, and I thought they couldn't do it again this year, is they got Byfield on the second power play. And the part that just kills me so much on this is that, okay, you have Kuzmenko. For some reason, you guys just love him. He's going to be fine. They scratch Kuzmenko. You're like, okay, Byfield is going to be that top power play. Nope. They literally brought in Joel Armia, who I believe his majority of his goals, and I'm not joking, are shorthanded goals. He has more shorthanded goals than either power play goals or even strike goals. And then he's the person that jumps in on the top power play. So they're strongly just showing that they just don't want him on the top power play. I guess he has the Ehlers curse. So with that mix of him not on the top power play, him not shooting, it's just one of those situations, in my opinion, that it's pretty hard to just kind of roster. I know that you probably spent a decent draft pick, but it really just kind of depends on your other options. And in this situation, Elon gave us a little bit more information. Basically, he has kind of in the same part of his roster, he has Pavel Zacha and Steven Stamkos. Before today, I had the list set up as I had Pavel Zacha at the top because I liked the fact that he was playing on the top power play. Then I had Byfield and then Stamkos. And he may have scored more goals by the time I finished the sentence, but when I last checked, Stamkos somehow had 8 shots and 4 goals, so I guess he knew that I was going to put him third on this list. And this is kind of the follow-up that he had, and this is now Stamkos, 6 shots the game before, and he had a couple of games of multi-points. So this is going to be a weird feeling for me to say because I was just 100% set to put Stamkos at the bottom. But in this situation, let's just pretend this is like bottom of the roster. Maybe you have like what is like you have like a streamer spot and like a guy that's like just above the streamer, and this is where these guys are. I would honestly at this point be more open to keeping Stamkos out of any of those three, and I would be more open to maybe having the conversation with Zacha because now they have Pasternak on that top power play with him. I think in this current situation, if you have these kind of players as your options to either keep or similar-ish, maybe a power play two guy because there's not many power play one guys on the wire, I would be more open to just kind of let go of Byfield, let that person be a landmine for someone else to think that they found gold, and then you just pick up the hot streamers and just hope that you find these. You know, I'm telling you, Stamkos is not going to get, you know, 4 goals tomorrow in this next game. But the thing is that he's hot right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me. The points that Stamkos got today may eclipse what Byfield got last month for you in Kickoffle. That's how good he's playing. So at this point, I think you just cut your losses, make it into a streamer spot, and I would be much more interested in keeping a Zacha or a Stamkos than just crossing your fingers that Byfield turns it on to anything at this point.
Yeah, it's amazing what a game can do to change our minds around here. But it's tough. I honestly did the same thing you did. I looked at this list that Elon was struggling and asking us about, and I was like, I know what I would say. Stamkos at the bottom. Nashville's been struggling. So yeah, it's very surprising. We know that Stamkos has it in him. I know there will be somebody in my tier very excited about a happy news Stamkos on the chat today, because so far, every time I've talked about Stamkos, I've said it's okay to drop him. But after yesterday or the last game, tonight's game, you can't be looking to drop him after a 4-point game. Like that's not somebody you're looking to go away from. He's still on the top line. He's playing with O'Reilly and Evangelista. I do like that. He has a lot of opportunity there. And we've always said this about the Nashville players that we've been struggling with all year, is there's opportunity there. They're just not capitalizing. So keep an eye on them. They could come back at any time. They could go on a hot streak. So this is one of those things. Like you said, the 6 shots on Colorado on Tuesday night, that's, you know, it's okay. But then you start to see it produce and that makes you feel a lot better. So really exciting there. Byfield, I might have a West Coast bias for this. I've always wanted him. I think it's probably because I get to watch a lot of those games. But I've never had him on my team, so I haven't had to feel the pain that you guys have. So I think I do rank him a little bit higher still, of somebody that I'm more interested in. But I did look at the stats here for Kakuffel, and he hasn't had more than 4 Kakuffel points since November 13th, which I do not like at all. And I would be struggling to hold him too. We talk about this a lot. Like, what is the kind of line in the sand, especially on a forward like this? You're kind of hoping that they're getting you about that 4 points. And if they're repeatedly under and constantly under, that's a bit of a problem. So with him being stuck on that second power play, I do think that if you have to drop him to make a save, you can do it. I did look at what the beat writers were saying because I had to, and they all do seem to think he's just a little bit snake bitten. He's hitting a few too many posts, and maybe that's true, but until he's not, it can be a long wait. I've been there with a couple of players myself where you're waiting for them to get that first goal and kind of kick off. So that's what I'll say there. With Saka, his time on ice is going to worry me, so I couldn't put him first. But yeah, to start of the night, I had Byfield, Saka, Stamkos as my list here, and Stamkos is moving up pretty fast. Now, to take us to a bit of a different discussion, also listener submitted, but one of our hopefully not podcast friends, family members here. We got asked about Ryan Pulak a little bit in the chat this week, and I jumped in because I had happened to pick him up last Saturday. He was playing on a back-to-back. I liked the schedule. I needed to fit somebody in. So I grabbed him, not really expecting too much. He is a pretty base-level defenseman. He's going to get you those peripherals, though. He's had 4 points in 4 games, all assists, which is nice, but he is only averaging about 1 shot on goal, so that's not great for his last 5 games. If I'd like to have a defenseman who is shooting a little bit more in more of a points place. But if you are looking for cats, he is more interesting. 1 goal, 4 shots on goal tonight, 3 blocks, which is a nice turnaround. Like I say, as soon as we go to talk a little bit negative about somebody, they turn it around. He doesn't hit a lot. So definitely you're picking up more on those blocks side of the peripherals. But I have him already. I'm going to hold him while the hot streak holds. Next week is going to get a little tough, and you're going to hear us talk about next week's schedule a little bit more here. But most teams are playing 3 to 4 games. He plays 3 games, and unfortunately, he plays busy nights. So the minute it looks like it's falling off the cliff, I might have to let him go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's kind of the thing where I like is that, like, I try to not marry myself to the bottom of the roster defenseman, assuming that you're in a position that you have, like, moves left over, you're not filling in for injuries or whatnot. And this is kind of the idea where, like, for example, Jeremy talks about, like, dropping, like, say, a cold Brock Faber or those kind of situations, is that there's so many weird situations. Like, we are not seeing this coming up, that Pulak was going to have this point streak or just kind of be that kind of person. But this happens all the time, random players. And then, say, if you already have him, I would just be riding it out. It's just one of those, yeah, probably that's the best way to say it. This is one of those guys that, like, if you have him, I'd be fine keeping him, but I wouldn't be looking to add him. And then that's just kind of the situation. And then when he starts to cool off, there's going to be another random defenseman. Like, for example, we joke about how Darren Radish has just been so good. I won't lie. I picked him up. I'm not sure if he was on top power play at the time. I think Hedman may have been healthy at the point, but I picked him up just going, hey, he's scoring some points. Maybe he keeps on doing it. And sometimes it happens a long time with Radish, or it could be a situation where you have the last point the day you pick him up. So it's just kind of those situations. You just kind of ride the wave, and if it's good, have fun. And then once it gets cold, just throw him off into kind of the pile for the next hopefully hot defenseman.
And speaking of hot players, I'm going to take us to Detroit. I know that'll make you slightly excited that we're talking about a hot player from Detroit. But I need to ask you about Andrew Kopp here, because he's had 6 points in the last four games played. He is playing right now against the Oilers, so I'm hoping that there's no points there, but that's because I'm biased, as always. He's averaging about 2 shots on goal in his last 5 games, which is a little bit interesting. He normally plays a lot with Van Riemsdyk, but I'm noticing more of a DeBrincat-Kane pairing there, which is interesting to me. I do like that he's playing on power play, too. That's always something that you're looking for, is to snag a late power play player if you can, because they get those extra points usually. I'm sad because that power play also has ASP, who I missed out on, and everybody picked him up on Monday on me, but that's okay. With a few people out, with a few injuries and stuff, like, how are you feeling about Kopp? Are you thinking this is a hot streak you want to jump on, or is it more just fun for you to watch? They do have 4 games next week while I'm talking about games coming up.
So I think this is the prime situation of a person just kind of riding the line, because personally, I have no real interest in Kopp, but his line mates, DeBrincat and Kane, are people I like a lot. So this is kind of the funny situation, is that I'm not sure if he was drafted high or was just kind of thought about, or like in as a waiver wire ad in early the season, is Marco Kasper. Everyone was a big fan of him because he had that kind of unexpected surge last season as a rookie, playing this spot, and it kind of just turned into a situation where, unfortunately, he's been snake bitten. He hasn't been scoring goals or been playing so well. So Kasper's been demoted to the third line, and then Kopp has taken the spot, which, interestingly enough, Kopp had this spot last year, and it was Kasper that replaced him because he was injured. So this is a place that he has played before with these line mates. So it's one of those situations where, if you're fine with, like, this is probably a deeper league ad where you're more of adding the third wheel. That's clearly what he is. I don't want to say, but he's great at it, but you're playing him because he's playing with other people. And then the second, if you see him, like say Kasper swaps or Nate Danielson, like a different center, if anyone takes his spot on the second line, I don't care if he's on the second power play, you drop him. But it is a situation where I love his line mates that I would be interested in just having him on my roster if he fits kind of as a bottom roster player, that you hope that he just kind of catches the assists and whatnot, and he will block and hit, or and then kind of do a couple of those other stats to hopefully keep himself up, but he's not going to be the person generating those points for you.
I think that's a pretty good way to look at it. I mean, if you're interested and you do grab him in one of those deep leagues, I will mention he does play Tuesday, Wednesday next week, which is a nice way to start your week. And then if it's not working, or you do see he gets bumped, it's a great time to drop him and grab somebody who's got 2 or 3 more games later in the week. His peripherals leave me being a little cautious. I haven't reached out for him yet, but I was just watching those points rack up and I had to ask the questions. So very interesting there. Moving to another hot streak, because that's really what our focus is today, because both you and I are in very cold climates, and it's cold enough around here, so we are focused on hot things today. We are looking at Anaheim's Beckett Sadecki, and I am so mad because, again, got snagged on all of my leagues, but he is only 46% rostered in Yahoo. So if you still have the opportunity, go check him out, guys. He's had 6 points in the last 3 games played, 13 points in 10 games played. He's got about 4 to 5 shots per game. And like I said, 46% rostered in Yahoo. If you are a Fantrax player, he is rostered quite a bit higher there, which I found very interesting. It's not usually quite the disparity there, but over 70% in Fantrax. Playing with McTavish and Gaudier, I like this. I like this line for him. I'm excited. This is somebody that I would actually run out and grab. I tried to. I was literally trying to figure out who to drop as he got picked up in one of my leagues. So I got totally smoked there on grabbing him, and I'm jealous. What about you?
We were just talking about a moment before about saying, like, how Pulock, once he has a cold streak, let him go. This is a person that I would be willing to ride. Like, for example, you might see, because this is something I noticed in Yahoo, is that their very short-term focus is that he just kind of came off. He literally had, Beckett Sadecki had 3 games in a row of a golden assist, and today he only has 2 shots and no points. So there's going to be people thinking, oh, it's done. The trade's over. And if you're in one of those leagues where someone has that quick trigger figure, hell, even if it is a shallow league where maybe not as many people are rostered, I am 100% fine to pick him up. And even if, say, for example, they haven't had as many off-night games today or the last week or so, I'd be fine rostering Senecky and just kind of just riding it out, because keep in mind, I don't remember what his draft pick was, but he was a high-level draft pick. So this is not just kind of a grinder guy that's just kind of coming out of nowhere. This is high-quality talent who's been playing well for a long time. You know, much more assists than goals, but still, both are happening enough that I would be happy, say, even if he doesn't point for the next two or three games, I would be still keeping on my roster just because of that quality is what he showed before.
Yeah, and the good news here is he plays for Anaheim, so they do tend to have a lot of off nights. I didn't look at the schedule right before this, so don't quote me on next week, but I'm sure they do have a couple off nights in there just with how busy it is. Need to take us over to some very rare goalie shout out hot streaks. I don't know the last time I've talked this nicely about goalies, so somebody should mark it on the calendar in our accountability or something, because I've said so many nice goalie things today. But another one here, Brandon Boosey, looking really good. After tonight, he's had 5 wins in his last 5 games played, because he had the shootout winner tonight. So looking really good. Another thing that you noticed and shared, and I'm going to steal from you, is he is the first goalie with 10 wins in his first 11 appearances. It is a technicality when we say appearances, we know that. But I mean, this is a fun stat. This is something to get excited about if you like goalies, need goalies. On the year before we started the show, he was looking at a 2.09 goals against average, a 0.908 save percentage. He'd already had a shutout. So it is something that is not always seen when we see a goalie come up. There is usually a little bit of struggle. So I do like this. And he has played in the AHL for a few years. His stats there look pretty good. His goals against average there was just over 2, always under 3 there, it looks like. Always above a 0.9 save percentage. This is something that as someone who feels goalie starved sometimes really likes to see, is those lower numbers on the goals against average and the higher save percentage. They usually go hand in hand. So very exciting. Tonight was his 6th start in the last 10 games. So he's definitely seeing that crease a lot, which I like to see as well. But this is another place where we need to talk about a goalie trio, because you have another area here where we've got 3 really good goalies in Carolina. So what do you think about Boosey? Is this someone you're just going to stream in for a day, or is this someone you want to jump on the bandwagon?
So this is one of those situations where if it's a categories league, I am all over him. Just like, I just want that win equity is just so strong. Now, in your points league, it really depends on how your scoring happens. Is that while he is interesting because he just has that win equity, as we said, literally 10 of the 11 games he's been in, he's gotten you a win. So those points for the win are just so strong. But the interesting thing, though, is that he sees so few shots that even with those wins, he doesn't have always the greatest score. So, for example, like a game against Toronto, he had a win, but he allowed 4 goals on 16 shots. So those are going to be the situations that, like, in Kakupful terms, that was literally a 1.8. So that win literally took him out of the negatives. So that's going to be the situations that there are going to be situations where, like, it doesn't always work out to a win. I'm not sure when that's going to happen with the way he's going, but when it goes bad, it's going to be really bad just because he doesn't see a lot of shots. But if I have him, I'm riding him in those points leagues, and then just kind of have that understanding that he's going to be capped just because of the total saves that he's going to be getting, because they just suppress shots so well in Carolina.
Absolutely. And I love what you said there about the Cats League, because I took a peek to see where he was available to me. Just always like to check my leagues before we talk about players. And of course, that was the league he was taken in, is a league where we need goalie starts and is a goalie Cats League. So definitely someone that I will be keeping an eye on, but I too am not rushing out to grab in a points league just because there is that fear. Whenever you're playing with a goalie with one of these teams that doesn't see a lot of shots, like you said, they're suppressing them. It's a little bit scary. You want to be a little bit more tentative before you just reach out and grab them, because as you say, at the minute you have that loss, it could be a negative. All right. My last fun little bit for today, I had to include because I looked at the schedule next weekend. If you're using our Maximizer tools, it highlights for you how many games everyone is playing and who's got the most. And the most was New York next week with 5 games played. So I'm looking ahead. I'm hoping that things go well this week, but I'm looking ahead into next week too. 5 games played. They play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. This is most likely because of the compressed schedule. And we've got the holiday break the next week. I know New York has lost their last 3 games, but maybe it's a redemption week for them. So I wanted to just quickly rapid fire you, Shams, and get your interest level on a few New York players to see if we should be thinking about them. So we've got Will Cooley, definitely on a cold streak right now, 0 points in his last 4 games played, but he's only 46% rostered. And we know he has the capability. Would you be interested in him next week with 5 games?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Is that like definitely with the opportunity he has, is that... like, he shoots, he hits, that I would be definitely willing to ride him, especially, like, even in those situations, the points are not there.
Perfect. Okay. I think you're going to say the same thing about this next guy, Vincent Trocheck. I mean, he's still 63% rostered in Yahoo. He is one of the few players who's actually been kind of holding his own. 3 assists and 21 hits in his last 5 games played. Those are enough to keep you sustainable in my mind. So I'm guessing this is someone you're interested in if he's available.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's, you know, the only question there is that, you know, maybe you're in a shallow league and he's a center only, but like that's like the small caveat. But if you have the space to fit him in, I would be definitely willing to give him a shot.
Okay, this next one is a little bit more interesting because we got to leave the interesting ones for last. Connor Sheary, he was scratched not too long ago. He's only averaging 2 shots on goal. You know, 5 games played recently. So we'll look at that. We got 1 goal, 1 assist. It's not looking too hot. He's 0% rostered in Yahoo, but he is on the second power play. How do we feel about him? Is this just a snooze or is there a little bit of temptation with that deployment?
So for me, it's not like, I guess the deployment probably leads to this, but in his last 3 games, he's had 3 shots in every one of those games. So this is one of those, you know, bargain basement, you know, diving leagues where, like, I remember there was a league where I was fighting over, like, this was a couple years ago when Wenberg was still in Seattle. You're like, oh, should I pick up, you know, Chandler Stephenson or Wenberg because, you know, they got 4 games. Like, this is one of those situations where you're deep leagues. This is going to be, you know, if you have value with the shots, I would be willing to take, but, like, in most situations, I'd probably be willing to just, you know, live with the 3 or the 4 point game, or maybe, you know, try to find a goalie that takes 2 starts in most leagues over Sheary. But like, if you're looking for bargain basement, you know, situations, those 3 shots in 3 straight games does kind of pique my interest.
All right. I like it. I too was a little bit interested and seeing that 0%, you're always just like, huh, am I the only one seeing this? So you got to ask the question. There is a couple other players on that power play, too, that are, we'll say, honorable mentions. We got Laba and Moro. I don't really see either of them as being somebody you're going to go after. I'd go after Sheary first. I think he's got a little bit more history there to fall back on. But you mentioned having a goalie that could get 2 starts. And with 2 back-to-backs next week, I'm going to guess that Quick will get some starts. And would you be interested then?
All right. Now, keep in mind is that Quick is kind of one of those situations where he kind of goes up in a ball of flames or could set up a wonderful start, because the way that the Rangers kind of do their defense is that they have Shesterkin back there and they're like, okay, well, we have one of the best goalies in the world. We paid him such. He's going to see all the shots. And Quick can do that at times as well. But just keep in mind is that if you're one of those people, I know a couple people on the Discord are like, I don't even like want to have the possibility of a negative maybe pass, but if you're the person that's willing, like, hey, I'm looking for just the highest possible score with the understanding there's risk, I would be happy with Quick.
Yeah, me too. I looked at this and I was like, oh, that could be fun because, you know, we got 2 back-to-backs. You got the Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday. You're almost, I don't want to say you are guaranteed, that would be crazy, but almost guaranteed to get those 2 starts. You got to throw him in the mix. And so with that, Matchup Maximizer will be your friend. They'll be talking about everything going into next week, not just the one team with 5 games. And hopefully they'll have some more insight into how these players finish out the week than Shams and I.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And if you take a peek, there's a lot of just like interesting off-night schedules. So definitely listen to that show because it's not going to be one of your easy, oh, there's only, you know, one team with the off nights and everyone just picks the Rangers dry. There's actually a good amount of options, but we'll save that for Matchup Maximizer. And with that, that's the end of our short shifts. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the short shifts crew, and the countless many people in our Discord that are just great people that have great insights. I'm there asking questions. There's just everyone from, you know, dynasty people, the prospects people, or hey, if you're just interested on another team that you don't watch and you just want to just talk hockey, there's plenty of people there just happy to talk hockey. So I am just so happy to be a part of this community. And on that, we also have game day tweets. That's what I referenced before. We have Elon and I trudging through Twitter, so you don't have to. You can go to gamedaytweets.com to get all of your news of starting goalies, lineups, and news. Search by player to get everything there so you don't have to go to Twitter. We just send it right to you. And make sure to visit our great sites that we use to make this episode work. Yahoo, Frozen Teals, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.